Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 15th Chapter, Text 34. The Pandavas retire timely. Jaya Harad Pubo Haram Tam Tanum Bijaha Bajaha Bijaha Vajaha Kantakam Kantakineva Dvayam Chapi Shituhu Chapi Shituhu Samam Jaya Harad Bhubo Bharam Tanu Bijaha Vajaha Kantakam Kantakineva Dvayam Chapi Shitu Samam Jaya Harad Bhubo Bharam Tan Tanu Bijaha Vajaha Kantakam Kantakineva Dvayam Chapi Shitu Samam Jaya Harad Bhubo Bharam Tam Tanum Bijaha Vajaha Kantakam Kantakineva Dvayam Chapi Shitu Samam
Yeah. Mataji's Jaya Harad, it's a two words, two different words. Jaya, that by which, Aharat, took away, Bhubaha, of the world, Bharam, burden, Tam, that, Tanum, body, bijaho, relinquished, ajaha, the unborn, kantakam, thorn, kantakena, by the thorn, eva, like that, dvayam, both, cha, also, api, although, Yishitu, controlling, samam, equal. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Unborn, Lord Sri Krishna, caused the members of the Jadu dynasty to relinquish their bodies, and thus He relieved the burden of the world. This action was like picking out a thorn with a thorn, though both are the same to the controller. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur suggests that the rishis like Shaunaka and others who were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Suta Goswami at Naimisharanya were not happy to hear about the Jadus dying in the madness of intoxication. To give them relief from the mental agony, Suta Goswami assured them that the Lord caused the members of the Jadu dynasty to relinquish their bodies by which they had to take away the burden of the world. The Lord and His eternal associates appeared on earth to help the administrative demigods in eradicating the burden of the world. He therefore called for some of the confidential demigods to appear in the Jadu family and serve Him in His great mission. After the mission was fulfilled, the demigods, by the will of the Lord, relinquished their corporeal bodies by fighting amongst themselves in the madness of intoxication. The demigods are accustomed to drinking the somarasa beverage, and therefore the drinking of wine and intoxication are not unknown to them. Sometimes they are put into trouble for indulging in intoxication. Once the sons of Kubera fell in the wrath of Narada for being intoxicated. But afterwards they regained their original forms by the grace of the Lord Sri Krishna. We shall find this story in the 10th canto. For the Supreme Lord, both the Asuras and the demigods are equal. But the demigods are obedient to the Lord, whereas the Asuras are not. Therefore, the example of picking out a thorn by another thorn is quite befitting. One thorn which causes pinpricks on the leg of the Lord is certainly disturbing to the Lord. And the other thorn which takes out the disturbing elements certainly gives service to the Lord. So although every living being is a part and parcel of the Lord, still, one who is a pinprick to the Lord is called an asura, and one who is a voluntary servitor of the Lord is called a devata or demigod. In the material world, the devatas and asuras are always contending, and the devatas are always saved from the hands of the asuras by the Lord. Both of them are under the control of the Lord. The world is full of two kinds of living beings, and the Lord's mission is always to protect the devatas and destroy the asuras. Whenever there is such a need in the world, and to do good to both of them.
Yaya harad bhuvo bharam, tan tanum vijaha vajaha, kantakam kantakeneva, dvayam chapi shitu samam.
So, the demigods took birth in the Jadu dynasty according to Krishna's instruction, and in this way they got a chance to take part in Krishna's pastimes, and thus they became qualified to go back to the spiritual sky. And here we are seeing how the Jadus were arranged by Krishna to fight among themselves. It has been pointed out in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna considered that no one can control the Jadus. They're too powerful, because they're Krishna's associates. So they're Krishna's associates, they're extremely powerful, and before Krishna left, he considered that if they remained on the earth, then they may cause some disturbance, and there was no one who could actually take care of them. Therefore Krishna arranged for the Jadus to go back first to the spiritual sky. And then Krishna left this planet himself. The only Jadu who was spared from this devastating annihilation of the Jadu dynasty was Uddhava. He was the only one who was spared. Otherwise, rest of the Jadus left their bodies. In this way we can see that soon before Krishna left the planet, all his associates, most of his associates were sent back to the spiritual sky, and some of the associates left after Krishna left this planet. For example, here we are seeing that the Pandavas left after Krishna left this planet. The gopis also, the queens also left. When Krishna left his body, when they got the news, they left their bodies in a lake. And their bodies actually became gopi chandan. Their bodies melted and became, or from their body, or due to their body, like the gopi chandan, the tilak that we put is actually the bodies of the gopis. They drowned themselves in that lake, and the clay from that lake is this gopi chandan. So Krishna comes to accomplish certain mission. What is that mission? Why does Krishna come? To protect the devotees and annihilate the demons. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashayacha dushkritam. Otherwise Krishna doesn't have any reason to come to this world. Why should Krishna come to this world?
Just like a king doesn't need to go to the prison. Does the king need to go to the prison? No. But sometimes the king may go to the prison. Why does the king go to the prison? To see the condition of the prison. Or if there is some disturbance in the prison, if there is a, sometimes it happens. In the recent past, in America it happened. Some prisoners, they took control over the prison. They attacked the guards, took away the guns, killed some of the guards, and took control of the prison. When a situation like that arises, then what happens? Then the army went there with the tanks and all their weapons, and they subdued the rebels, the prisoners who revolted and took control. Similarly, sometimes the demons take over the control of the universal affairs. By Krishna's arrangement, the universal affairs are controlled by the demigods. Krishna appointed the demigods as different responsible in charge. Personalities in charge of different affairs of the universe. As I mentioned many times earlier, every department has a controller. There is fire department, there is wind department, there is water department, there is finance department, there is education department. There is also another department, is success department. The success department. Who is the controller of that success department? Who knows? The controller of the success, or head of the department, success department, is Ganesh. You approach Ganesh and pray to him, he'll give you success. So this is how there are different departments. The sun department, moon department, war department. The demigods also have a general, Skanda, Kartikeya. So this is Krishna's arrangement. Like Krishna creates this universe, and then Krishna puts different individuals who are basically his devotees to take charge of these departments. But sometimes what happens, just as in the prison, the prisoners took over, sometimes in this material nature, which is the prison house, they take over the control of the prison affairs. Who do that? They are the demons, asuras, the demons. Those who abide by Krishna's order, they are known as suras or demigods. And those who go against Krishna's arrangement are the asuras. Krishna said, this is the arrangement. Like fire department, water department, wind department, they'll be controlled by different individuals. But sometimes the demons defy that arrangement of Krishna and they take over by force. They take over. Now this is in defiance to Krishna's arrangement. So when that happens, then Krishna comes to Indradi Vakulang Lokang Mrirayanti Juge Juge. Indradi, Indra means the king of the demigods. Indra is the king of the demigods. And Indra Ari, who is the enemy? Ari means enemy. Who are the enemies of Indra? The enemies of Indra are the demons.
So they sometimes take over, and therefore Krishna comes to re-establish the order. So that is the meaning of Paritranaya Sadhunam and Vinashaya Cha Dushkritam. So if we also go against Krishna's arrangement, then we will become demons. But if we follow Krishna's arrangement, then we will become suras or demigods, devotees of the Lord. To be a devotee of the Lord means to accept the arrangement that Krishna made. So Krishna made arrangements in a various way. Krishna's arrangements are very well organized. But if we defy Krishna's arrangement, like sometimes we find people around us, they are going against, like communism is for instance. Krishna made arrangement, somebody will be poor, somebody will be rich. It's not Krishna is whimsically telling that you become poor and you become rich. It is according to their karma. Some people acted in a good way, they get the results, good results. Some people act in a bad way, they get the bad results. So that is the natural law. But if somebody makes the arrangement, those who get the bad result will enjoy, and those who get the good results, they'll suffer. Then what will happen? And the demons do that. That's what Ravan decided actually. Ravan thought, why should only the pious people go to heaven? Pious people mean people who act nicely, who are good people. Those who act according to Krishna's law, they are pious, punyavan. So generally, heavenly planets are meant for the pious people. And hellish planets are meant for sinful people. In the hellish planet, sinful people suffer. In heavenly planet, pious people enjoy. But Ravan considered, why should the pious people go to only the pious people go to heaven, and sinful people will suffer. So he said that he'll make an arrangement by which everybody can go to heaven. He decided to make a staircase or lift. You get into the lift and you'll go to heaven. Now these are the demoniac activity. Just like if you make a point, make a condition that we see in our legal system, those who break the law, they are punished in prison. And those who abide by the law, they enjoy. Don't we see that? Like somebody, you all are students, so when you study nicely, you get a good result, and when you make good results, then you get a good life, good opportunities to live nicely. And those who don't study but become a gunda, then they invite all kinds of misery for themselves, and finally police comes and catches them and put them in the prison. But if somebody says, why should only the good students will enjoy and bad students will suffer? Now we'll make a law that the bad students will enjoy and good students. Those who don't study, they will enjoy. And those who study very nicely, they'll fail the exams. It can happen. It is actually happening now. If the education authority becomes corrupt, or if some people come and take over the education department and defy the law of the country. The education department has been established by the government. But if somebody goes against the government and says, well, I don't accept this education department. Kick out the vice chancellor and everybody. And they sit there and they make law. And they say, okay, from now on the law is those students, those who don't study, they'll get the best marks. And those who are studying, let them get the worst marks. Then what will happen? There will be chaos. And actually that's what is happening in the world today. In Kali Yuga, everything turns upside down. Kali makes arrangements in such a way that the good people will suffer and bad people will enjoy. An example can be given in that sense, in that way. Many examples can be given. The thought that just, the one example that came first to my mind is, it's by nature's arrangement, the most sinful people take birth in the deserts. Naturally, life in desert is very difficult. There's nothing to eat, there's nothing to drink. So people, those who are very, very sinful, they actually take birth in the desert. Right? And they are meant to suffer there. But in this age we are seeing that the desert people have become the richest people and they are enjoying all the facilities of the world. Desert, like the Middle Eastern countries, like their people are in India. They are the richest people in the world today. The desert people, because they have oil. And what is oil? The oil is the garbage of the earth. What is actually the garbage of the earth, that has become the most precious object. Actually gold is the most precious object. But today, the garbage of the earth, oil, has become the substitute for gold. Literally it has become the substitute for gold. How much gold you have is not the consideration. How much oil you have, that is the consideration. But what is the oil? The oil is the garbage of the earth. They're pumping out that oil, selling it. And where the oil was kept? The oil was kept under the desert. So the desert people, the most dirty place, is where all the dirt is kept. The place that is not usable. The dirt is kept, where do you keep your dirt? Do you keep the dirt in the center of the city? Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Like in the city of Ujjain, where is the dirt kept? Is it kept in the best part of the city? Or dirt is kept in the far away where it's not used? Right? So similarly, deserts are the places where you don't, that place is not important place. That place is waste land. Therefore all the dirt was actually kept under the desert. But today, the desert people have access to that dirt, and the dirt has become the most precious object. And the desert people have become the richest people. And the most holy place, which is the most holy place on this planet? The land of Bharat, Bharatvarsha. And in this land people are suffering. They have become the poorest people. The most rich part of the world, the people have become poorest. And in the worst part of the world, people have become richest. Why? Because in the age of Kali, everything turns upside down. The best place has become worst, and the worst place has become best. This is due to the arrangement of Kali. Now, this is the meaning of dharmasya glani. Dharma means the law and order established by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the law and order is disregarded, that is called dharmasya glani or abhuthanam adharmasya. The uprise of irreligiosity. So that is what is happening to this world today. Now sometimes people question why Krishna doesn't come. Krishna said, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. He will come. But why the situation of this world is so bad, but still why Krishna is not coming? The answer to that is, Krishna has already come. Krishna has already come. Krishna has already incarnated in the form of the holy name. Krishna is there. Krishna incarnated in this age. Kali kale naam rupe Krishna avatar. Kali kale means in the age of Kali. Naam rupe as the holy name. Krishna avatar. Krishna has incarnated. Krishna has already incarnated in the form of his holy name. And Krishna is taking care of the situation. Krishna is taking care of the situation. Krishna is taking control. At least if we take shelter of the holy name, all our difficulties will disappear. All our difficulties will disappear. So take shelter of the holy name and you'll see the advantage, you'll see the benefit. Take shelter of the holy name. If you are in difficulty, what will you do? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. If you are in difficulty, chant the holy name. And see what happens. Prabhupada demonstrated that very wonderfully. In the early 40s, during the Second World War, there was a threat of bombardment. There was a threat of bombardment in Calcutta. The Japanese were supposed to bomb Calcutta. Because Calcutta was the big stronghold of the British. So Japanese were supposed to bomb Calcutta. And at that time, everybody started to evacuate from the, evict the city. Run away from the city. Everybody was running away from Calcutta. Prabhupada was in Calcutta at that time. What did Prabhupada do? Prabhupada took a mridanga and went out on the street and started to chant the holy name. And Prabhupada's point was, Prabhupada's understanding was, that if I chant the holy name, then Krishna will give me protection. And if I have to die, if the bomb drops, and if I die, then I'll go back to Godhead. Because if I die chanting the holy name, so both way it is beneficial. Either Krishna will protect, or if Krishna doesn't protect, or if I die, then if I chant the holy name, if I die chanting the holy name, then I will become delivered. Right? So did the Japanese bomb Calcutta? No. What is the reason? No one knows that reason. Not many people know that reason. Why? The Japanese didn't bomb Calcutta. They were all set to bomb Calcutta. Especially the area where the fort was, the Fort William, the British army stronghold. So why the Japanese, in spite of all this preparation, did not bomb Calcutta? They're bombing everywhere. They didn't bomb because Srila Prabhupada was chanting Hare Krishna. That is the real reason why the Japanese did not bomb Calcutta, or Krishna protected Calcutta, because Prabhupada was chanting the holy name. We can see in this way the potency of the holy name. In the mid-80s, communism collapsed in Russia. You know that? Before that, Russia was communist country. But Krishna consciousness movement started to spread very effectively in Russia. It is because of the propagation of Krishna consciousness in Russia that communism collapsed and Russia became free. Russia became open. So this is the power of the holy name. Common people won't understand that. A layman will not understand that. But we, the devotees, know. And this is how our faith in the holy name will increase. Is it blind faith? No, it's real. It's very real. The proof is there. We hear so many such wonderful stories. Like one incident is, one girl in Europe was distributing Prabhupada's books. She's a young girl, 18, 19 years old. And then one drunkard attacked her. She was alone, there was nobody around, and this huge man tried to attack her. And she didn't know what to do. It's not that she didn't know what to do, she knew what to do. What did she do? She just started to chant, Namaste Narasimhaya Prahlada Lada Daine. And something happened to the man, he just turned around and went away. Another such incident is in Germany, in Hamburg, our devotees used to go out on Harinam in a district which is very notorious. That area is full of drunkards, but the devotees used to go out thinking that the most sinful people are the best candidate for receiving the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they would go there and distribute in that area. They chant the holy name in that area. And that area is very active at night. Because sinful people are active at night, they drink, nightclubs, and that place was full of nightclubs. It's called Ripaban. And so devotees were chanting, and one huge man, giant, he came charging towards them, attacking them. Devotees didn't know what to do, where they will go, because they were. Behind them was a nightclub, windows, showcase, and they could have run, but they didn't do that. They just started to chant the Nrisimha prayer, Namaste Narasimhaya. And the man was running towards them. They could see he was coming, and they just came a few feet from them. And then something happened to the man. His body was lifted in the air and he fell. He was running and he just fell on the ground. First he jumped and then he fell. And immediately, soon, the paramedics came, the ambulance came, and they checked him, and they said that he had a massive heart attack. Did they have a heart attack? And Nrisingadev took care of him. So this is how the Lord takes care of him. Another time in France, one man, very strong and powerful, got drunk and he came to our temple. And he tried to damage the temple. He was cursing the devotees. But there was only one devotee there in the temple room. It was in the afternoon. There was nobody in the temple room. And this devotee is not a very strong devotee. He was a pujari, skinny little devotee. And this devotee did not care whether this person has a knife or a gun. He just went out to protect the Lord. And although he was such a small person, and this other guy was so big, and so powerful, so strong, he literally bashed him up and threw him out of the temple. And later on he was telling, he doesn't know. He couldn't know. He didn't know how he did that. He said that he didn't even realize that he was doing what he was doing. He, as if he was possessed by somebody and did that. So in this way, devotees experience all kinds of wonderful things. I'm sure many of you also have experienced so many wonderful experiences taking shelter of the holy name. Have that implicit faith that this holy name is Krishna himself. This holy name is Krishna himself. You take shelter of the holy name, Krishna will personally give you protection. Just take shelter of the holy name and not worry about anything. Difficulties will come and go. But if you take shelter of the holy name, you will not only be protected from all kinds of calamities, but you will make spiritual advancement. You will see how your heart is developing this intense love for Krishna. And this love for Krishna is the ultimate goal of our lives. This love for Krishna is the ultimate goal of our life. Sometimes there may be some difficulties, but those difficulties are just apparent difficulties. They are not real difficulties. Like the Pandavas. Apparently they were facing so many difficulties. But were they facing the difficulties? No, they were having a good time. People may think that you are having a difficulty, but if you are having a good time, like sometimes you go to the forest to have a picnic. The people may think, oh look, they went to a place where there is no food, there is no home, no shelter. But you, who are having a picnic in the forest, how do you feel? You feel wonderful. You feel that's so wonderful. The devotees, people may think that the devotees are going through difficulty. But the devotees themselves don't feel any difficulty. Like for example, in the West, many of our devotees are coming from very wealthy background. And when their friends and relatives come and see the devotees, how they live. You saw how the devotees live in the temple? Like you all are packed in, how many, 25 of you in one room? Sleeping on the floor, no proper bed. And they think, that, oh, they are suffering so much. They don't have proper bed to sleep. They are just eating vegetarian food. Vegetarian food they think is just some dry boiled vegetables and chapatis. And they feel that the devotees are suffering. But are the devotees really suffering? Now that you all from the youth camp, you are living in this condition, are you suffering or enjoying? But somebody will think that you are suffering. You don't have proper bed to sleep, right? You don't have any entertainment, you can't go to movies, you can't have non-vegetarian food. But you know how you are enjoying. So where does the real enjoyment lie? Does the real enjoyment is a consideration of our external situation, or the real enjoyment is a condition of our heart? Real enjoyment is actually a state of heart. If the heart is happy, then we are happy. If the heart is not happy externally, whatever situation may be there, you won't feel happy. Somebody may be living in a palace, but if he's suffering from a serious disease, a cancer, how will he feel? He'll be miserable. Although he's externally living in a palace, has so many facilities, he has so much money, but he himself is suffering. On the other hand, you may live in a very apparently difficult situation, but internally if you are happy, then that is what real happiness is. Hare Krishna. So please take to this process of Krishna consciousness very seriously. Take to the process of Krishna consciousness with all sincerity and you will see the result of it. Take shelter of the holy name wholeheartedly. Chant the holy name. At least when you are in difficulty, you chant the holy name. When you are enjoying, you may not have the time to chant. But at least when you are in difficulty, you chant. And make it a point to at least stay in touch with the holy name. At least chant one round every day. So that will keep you in touch. Otherwise you may forget. So chant at least one round every day and that will keep you in touch with the holy name. And whenever you're in difficulty, chant the holy name and see what happens. Okay. Any question?
Jai Shishi Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Jai Shishi Radha Madan Mohan Ki. Jai Shishi Krishna Balaram Ki.
How can he develop the strong faith on the holy name? Hear about the holy name, the glory of the holy name. Hear, read, be in the association of devotees who have faith in the holy name. Right? And then automatically you'll develop the attachment. Like now the World Cup football match is going on. How does one develop attachment to football game? You open the TV and you'll see the game is going on. And how will you feel? You'll feel that, okay, I'll chant my rounds later. Let me watch the World Cup now. So in this way, by becoming exposed to that, you become attached to it, develop the faith in it. So associate with the good devotees, hear about the glory of the Lord and the holy name, read about the holy name, hear about what happens when you chant the holy name, then you will develop your attachment. Any other question? Okay, Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanandi.